Our message tonight is out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, walking worthy of our calling by relying on the Holy Spirit in the family. Having written extensively in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 21 about the high calling we believers in Christ have in our Lord, clarifying the great extent to which God's grace in Christ has been administered in our behalf, Paul applied that truth to the Christian walk. In chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 20. Now in Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, Paul addressed a seventh realm of walking worthy of our calling, that of relating well to the Holy Spirit to live righteously in the institution of the human family. The subject is very important right now due to extra pressures that the pandemic has put on relationships in the home. And reports abound worldwide of increased spousal and child abuse due to the lockdown and enhanced emotional and mental pressures produced by the pandemic. So we view this important passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to look through the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You that You have given us insight in Your Word for all the practical areas of life. Like Dr. C.I. Schofield used to say, the Word of God as it is for man today as he is. And truly, the Word of God here addresses the needs of the home in a very succinct manner. We ask for wisdom to understand the passage and then to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, let me read the verses and then we'll look at them. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 to 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When Paul directed believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18, he followed that admonition with a series of Greek participles directing how that filling was to be displayed in one's conduct. And the last participle of that series in Ephesians 5:21 was the word submitting, hupotassomenoi, submitting to one another in the reverence of Christ, or in reverence to Christ. Paul then applied this practice of submitting to a series of human institutions in Ephesians 5:22 to 6:9, focusing on the family in Ephesians 6:1-4. So we apply his directive for that institution as the family itself. So by means of the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit, what occurs when one relies as an act of faith on the Holy Spirit, children are to obey their parents in the Lord. For this is right. Now it's interesting, the command obey, I've just checked my Greek Testament, it's in the present tense. So it doesn't mean just obey them once. It means obey them as a way of life, ongoing obedience. Be in obedience. You can actually state in English, children, be in obedience to your parents as a way of life. Now, the word rendered right in the King James Version in verse 1 is actually dikaios. A better translation is the word righteous, meaning obedience to parents is part of a child's obligation to Christ. That's what a righteous life is for a child. A righteous life for a child, in God's eyes, is his obedience to his mom and his dad. Now, obviously, we have sinful parents, and sometimes they're unsaved parents who require a child to do things that are not right. That's obviously an exception, but generally speaking, the child's submission to his parents is what God expects of him. Jesus himself exampled this. Remember when he was in the temple, he was 12 years of age, he was talking to the doctors, and he actually was right in doing that because he was age 12, he was getting ready for his bar mitzvah, which was going to be the next year. And typically when 12-year-old boys had a question as to the law and they wanted to get those questions answered, that they had to get those questions answered so that they had no questions when they came to the bar mitzvah. Well, Jesus, of course, saw plenty of discrepancies between what was going on in Israel at the time and what he saw in the Word of God. So he was asking these doctors questions. So he was occupied with that. And meanwhile, he was displaced from the family. The family had started to go back home. Mary and Joseph came back. And Mary, being the typical mother, said, "Son, we've been worried sick about you. We've been looking all over you for you." And Jesus said, "Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" But then a very interesting statement. The verse goes on to say, or the passage goes on to say, that Jesus, nevertheless, Jesus went back and submitted himself to his parents. His earthly parents didn't understand everything, but Jesus still submitted to them. That was his calling before the Father. So he was submitting to the rules of Judaism at the day of trying to get the questions answered before his bar mitzvah. But when his parents came along and they had a problem with his spending so much time there, he went back and submitted to them, which he meant that he probably left some of his questions unanswered. But obey your parents as a way of life. Jesus exampled that. And then Paul mentioned that this directive was the first command of the Ten Commandments with a promise. It's not the first command in the law. It's the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise. And it's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 21, and it's expanded on in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. If a child who believed in Christ honored his parents as evidenced by his obedience to them, God would see that things went well for him in his earthly life. Now, some people can live a really rough life, or life can go easier for you than hard. If a child, a Christian child, decides to submit himself to the Lord in obeying his parents as a way of life, God promises that he's going to make life easier for him than harder for him. It doesn't mean that he'll always have an easy route or that he won't face any trials. But generally speaking, life will go much easier for him because God will look out for him as a reward for his obedience to his parents. So children, especially if you're listening by way of the MP3, I would encourage you to make it your honest effort to live a life that is in constant submission to your mom and your dad. Because if you do that, God is going to bless you with giving you a better life than if you didn't obey them. And then if a child who believed in Christ honored his parents as evidenced by his obedience of them, God would see also that he lived a long earthly life. A long life is generally seen in Scripture as a blessing from the Lord. You want to live a longer life than a shorter life, obviously. Man sinned, and that's why man dies, but nevertheless, living a relatively long life is a good thing. And that's what the Lord promises here, that it may be well with you and you mayest live long on the earth. And I think back in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 21, it talks about on the life on the earth which the Lord your God gives you. And in Israel's case, that meant a lot. That would be living in the promised land. So living a long life and also living a relatively good life, those are two wonderful blessings, and they come from God's reward for obeying your parents. See, your parents are the people from which you get your earthly life. They gave you earthly life. They were the instruments that God used in giving you earthly life. And they're the fountain of your earthly life. So God says, all right, based upon how you treat the fountain of your earthly life, it's going to go with your earthly life. You see that the punishment or the reward is fitting right with the plan of God. Then also, by means of the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit, what occurs when one relies on the indwelling Holy Spirit, parents are to relate righteously to their children in the Lord. That's verse 4. Now, though parents are not to submit to their children, we still infer from the extended context where Paul is discussing submitting in various human institutions that parents also are to achieve the dictates of God regarding their roles in family oversight by means of the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit. I'm a parent, and I've talked to lots of other parents, and they will all say that it really is a helpful thing to be controlled by the Holy Spirit when you're dealing with children. It takes a lot of patience, takes a lot of consistency and faithfulness. These are all characteristics that are the product of the filling of the Holy Spirit according to Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. So it's important that parents be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Also, a lot of times a parent doesn't know what to do in a given situation with a child. A child may be acting in a strange way or an awkward way, or maybe even a rebellious way, and punishment doesn't seem to work. Well, generally, that means that there's something else that is going on. The child may be very insecure or afraid or confused about something, and that's creating this aberrant behavior, and the parent needs to get to the bottom of what it is. Well, that's where you need the wisdom of God. And this is why being filled with the Spirit is so important. If we're controlled by the Holy Spirit is a parent. In fact, the Bible tells us, Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of John, I will not leave you orphaned, orphanos is the Greek word, I will come to you. And he's talking about, I will send the Spirit of God into you. So the Holy Spirit is a parent to the Christian. If we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit as a parent not only ministers to us as our parent, but through us as a parent to our child. So it's very, very important to be filled with the Spirit as a parent. In addressing parents in Ephesians 6:4, Paul used the term fathers, what includes the mothers, because Ephesians 5:22 shows that wives are to be subject to their husbands in all things. That would deal also in relationship to how they relate to the kids. So that the husbands or fathers were the head of the family. They're also the head of the, they're ultimately responsible for the rearing of the children. It's not necessarily in the mother. The mother is working with the husband, but the father, actually, God holds the father, is ultimately responsible for the rearing of the children. So he addresses the fathers. Then parents are thus not to paragidzete. What's interesting, this is also in the present tense, and it's preceded by the negative particle may, which means stop an ongoing activity. Apparently there was a problem in the early church where fathers were aggravating their children, frustrating them. And Paul says, stop it. Stop exasperating. Stop provoking your children to anger by means of unreasonable demands, petty rules, or favoritism. There are lots of ways to exasperate a child. Inconsistency, showing favoritism to one child over another, or setting rules that are far too harsh for the child to keep or understand. These are things that we need to be very careful about as parents. It's better to have fewer rules that are adhered to and that are sustained and backed up firmly than to have a lot of rules and you fudge on a couple of them. You don't want to fudge on any rule that you make with the child. You want to be absolutely sure. And yet, the child needs some room to experiment. He needs some room to be a child. A child is a child. And so as parents, we need to be careful in how we set rules, make sure we're firm in the rules, and we back them up. And we don't frustrate the child. Rather, the meaning of the adversative particle, Allah, rather, instead of aggravating the child or provoking the child to anger by unreasonable demands or petty rules or favoritism. Parents are to rear or nourish, ectrefete. That means to provide for the physical and spiritual needs of their children. It's very responsible. Parents are responsible for the physical health and then the clothing and the protection of their children and then their spiritual needs. In the paideia, the word paideia means child discipline, and child discipline includes directing and correcting and instruction, nuthesia of the Lord. This goes far more than dealing just with the spanking. Yes, spanking, the Bible does, and the book of Proverbs talk about if you spare the rod, you spoil the jard, the child. In fact, I think there is a proverb that indicates that if a parent never uses the rod on the child, eventually the government will use the sword on the child. You know, and that's very true. You take a boy that's never been disciplined by his parents, eventually he gets disciplined at the end of a gun by the police. There has to be discipline. But there's far more than just physical discipline here. There's instruction. When my father was raising me, he shared what we always try to do as parents. Even when we discipline, we always try to teach you so that we don't have to do this again. We don't have to discipline again. This is the correct way, son. This is not the correct way. So follow in the correct way, and there's blessing. If you continue to go in the incorrect way, then there's going to be a problem, and you're going to get disciplined. But follow the correct way. If you go the correct way, everything will be fine. And whenever my father got ready to discipline me, he would always make me clarify what I had done wrong so that he understood that I understood very clearly. To me, that was by far the most painful part, was admitting that I had done wrong. The spanking seemed to be a lot easier than admitting it. But Dad was very good that way. And Mom followed him in that, in instructing us on what was right and why it was. And that's what we need to do with the child. We need to direct them. We need to correct. And then instruct them, nuthesia of the Lord. Instructing is sometimes giving admonition, a verbal admonition. Son, you need to get your act together. You need to go out and get a job. Or whatever. Or you need to, you know, I told you to pick up your clothes. Now you're going to stay inside and pick up clothes, clean up your room before you're going to go out and play with your friends. You know better than that, so let's get with it. It won't take you 5 minutes. Clean them up and so forth. So that's where you're giving an admonition to the child. The point is not to be brutal on the child, but to guide him, direct him, give him insight as to what is the correct way. Now, eventually a child gets to the point where he knows what is right and wrong, and so he needs room to be able to express the right over the wrong. And the parent, as the child begins to grow, is able to back off and give him a little more leeway, a little more room. So eventually, while he's still in the home, he is practicing that which is right versus wrong, so that his transition from being in the home to being out in the world is not a shock to his system. He's already set in his ways in regards to doing that which is right. So there has to be room for the parent to let the child begin to go. All of this obviously takes the control of the Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom of God to take the child through this process of, first of all, starting off with complete control over the child and then giving him room to grow, where we back away from the controls gradually to the point where the child is able to function on his or her own well. So the lesson is, by relying on the Spirit, believing children must honor so as to obey their parents as their righteous duty unto the Lord, with God's promise of a good and long life on the earth. And believing parents must not exasperate their children by making unreasonable demands, setting petty rules or showing favoritism, but provide for their children's physical and spiritual needs and direct and correct them in the biblical instruction of the Lord. This also implies, if we're going to use the biblical instruction of the Lord, that there should be teaching. There should be Bible teaching in the home. I always advocate having devotions for this, especially at night before we go to bed. But a lot of times, as our family, we will also have devotions in the morning around the breakfast table. And if we make this a regular part of our lives, then the child gets to see the Lord's interaction in his life. Because many times we found when we cover a specific passage in Scripture or a specific topic that we're covering, even in whether it's evening devotions or morning devotions, the children see the connection and they see the Lord dovetailing what we're covering in Scripture with what even they're facing in their lives. And it becomes a tremendous teaching tool, practical tool, of how God wants to interact with them and communicate with them through his word. So when we say the biblical instruction of the Lord, there should be Bible teaching. And there should be the application of Scripture on a regular basis. And a beautiful way to do that is through devotions that we have with our children. So in application, may all believers in the home rely on the Holy Spirit to heed the Lord in their God-assigned roles.